among a community of believers, a group of people who say, this amazing, incredible thing has happened. And our poor skeptic says, I just can't take your word for that. Because I said so is not reason enough for me to believe. I need something real, something I can touch. Then something happens. Jesus shows up. Jesus meets that need. The doubter has an experience of Christ and knows that Jesus is the living God. Then, perhaps even more unexpectedly, they are sent out to tell others and to do the work of God in the world. Sarah Miles was, to put it mildly, a skeptic. You might be familiar with this story. She was a self-proclaimed secular intellectual, raised by staunch atheists who were very opposed to what they saw as the arcane rituals of the superstition that was Christianity. She was a reporter, a journalist, who traveled the world writing about activists and revolutions. She wasn't looking for God when she wandered into church one Sunday. She was just curious, a doubter, a cynic. Sarah had experienced great pain and loss, and great joy and gratitude. She says she wandered in as a reporter, just to see. Maybe, just maybe, she was secretly hoping to find something real. She didn't believe in any of it, of course. She was there as a spectator and had no intention of being converted to any ridiculous religious quackery. Then she received communion, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. And in her words, something outrageous and terrifying happened. Jesus happened to me. Sarah chewed that crumbly piece of bread and tasted that sweet wine, and she, quote, knew that God, named Christ or Jesus, was real and was in my mouth. Skeptic stands in the middle of a community of believers, stands with a deep hunger but with a lot of questions, and suddenly, unexpectedly, there is God. Thomas hears the other disciples tell him, we have seen the Lord, but it's just not enough. This preposterous claim to have seen alive someone who he knows is dead, well, he's just not willing to take their word for it. He wants to know for himself, demands a real experience of the fleshly, resurrected Jesus. I want to see the marks and touch his side. We don't know where he was the first time, and we don't know why he decided to join the gathering the next week. Maybe, deep down, he was hoping it was real. But there he was, and suddenly, so was Jesus. Here, Thomas, touch me. Believe. We don't know if Thomas actually touched, but we do know that at the invitation, he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Thomas gets a bad rap. You don't have to be a churchgoer to know the phrase doubting Thomas. But the other disciples were not so different. Our text for today opens with them gathered on that day, the first day of the week, on Easter Day, the day of the resurrection. The tomb was empty, and the disciples were locked in a room in fear. They didn't know what to think. do? John's gospel tells us that the beloved disciple believed, but we heard last Sunday from Luke that many of the apostles considered it an idle tale, and they did not believe. Full of doubt, huddled in a locked room, and Jesus shows up. Jesus stands in the middle of their locked-down, fear-riddled, safe hiding place and offers peace. He says to them, "See my hands and my side." We are not so different from those disciples either. We want proof. We want to see and to touch. We shut down, lock up, hide away, and Jesus, well, Jesus keeps showing up. Jesus breaks through the walls we have built around us and within ourselves, in the walls of our fear and our anxiety and our doubt. Jesus stands among us. Jesus stands in the community, in the word, in the bread and wine, and offers us peace, extends the invitation to encounter God. And when that happens, friends, we are sent out into the world. After Sarah's experience of the Eucharist, she was shocked. Overcome. She was unbalanced, unhinged. She cried and tried to figure out some kind of reasonable explanation. She found none. It was just God. It seemed crazy, but she knew she was encountering God. "When I opened my mouth and swallowed," she said, "everything changed. It was real." She went back week after week to experience God in bread and wine. When she did that, she found that her carefully constructed walls of cynicism, intellectualism, doubt, they faded away. Within a few months, Sarah became convinced that as she was being fed, so she was called to feed others. With a fair amount of struggle and resistance, Sarah started a food pantry at St. Gregory of Nyssa Church in San Francisco that was very quickly giving away groceries to over 250 people a week. Groceries were piled high on the altar, the very place from which she had been fed and sent. She raised money, organized volunteers, hauled sacks of potatoes and onions, set out bread, swept floors, prayed with the hungry and the lost. She served and fed, met Jesus in flesh and blood. Years into its mission, the pantry there now serves over 600 families every week. She experienced Christ and was sent to feed his sheep. Thomas has this profound profession of faith, "My Lord and my God," that far surpasses his week of doubt. This statement of trust in and relationship with Jesus, this incredible gift of insight and recognition, naming Jesus as God, this has far-reaching implications for Thomas. He sees Christ in a way that the others do not. And he goes out from there. He evangelizes. Tradition tells us that Thomas carried Christianity into India, far from his home, farther even than any of the other apostles. He is credited with founding 7 churches there. And to this day, millions of Indian Christians trace their faith back to the Apostle Thomas. Many calling their church Mar Thoma in his honor. Members of our own congregation were raised in that tradition. Thomas recognized Jesus and was sent to proclaim the good news of the risen Christ. The other disciples, too, are sent. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. This must have been rather terrifying, because they knew Jesus had been sent to the cross. But with the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide them and strengthen them, by the time of the story recounted in Acts, they are standing boldly before this council. No longer hiding in fear, they are bearing witness to Christ's death and resurrection before people who could call for their execution. They are so emboldened, in fact, that most of them did proclaim Christ to their own deaths. We are recipients of their testimony. We have faith today because they preached the good news. We are among those who are blessed, who come to believe without having seen. We are offered opportunities to encounter Christ. Sunday after Sunday, we hear those words, "Peace be with you." Christ offers himself to us in the bread and wine, offers to transform our lives. We experience Jesus in the community, in word and music. Jesus visits us in the locked room of our fear, offers unexpected gifts, and sends us out into the world. He doesn't always wait until we're ready. He sends atheists, doubters, people who are hiding in fear, who have deserted and denied him. He does not call us into the world of butterflies and bunnies that we like to imagine at Easter, but into the gritty, sweaty world of hauling tons of produce. Into the far-flung world that reaches well beyond our comfort zone. Into the frightening world of those who question us, who demand explanation, who have power even over our lives. We are sent into the broken world that caused the scars Jesus bore even into the resurrection. We are sent to proclaim the good news of the risen Lord, to live as Christ's body in the world, to tell others about our relationship with God, so that they too may come to believe and have hope.